In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Please be seated. Amen. Tonight we commemorate the Feast of All Souls for the faithful departed, known and unknown. It is an old feast, but it is not as ancient as some. It dates back to the year 998, when Odilo, the fifth abbot of Cluny, commanded its celebration in all of the Benedictine houses under his authority. And for that influence, the Feast of All Souls became celebrated throughout Western Christianity. While the Feast of All Souls is not as ancient as some, the act of praying for the dead is as old as prayer itself. And the act of praying for the dead is usually accompanied by two very deep human emotions, grief and mourning. And grief and mourning take place only under the auspices of love. Queen Elizabeth II says it beautifully. Grief is the price we pay for love. And so tonight the altar is adorned in black. The vestments are black. We wear black, do we not, or dark colors to liturgies such as this, to funerals, memorial service, shivas. Because black is the color not of damnation, not of morbidness. Black is the color of mourning. And you cannot mourn if you've never loved. And so it is love that bathes this ancient liturgy tonight. Love bathes the foray requiem. Love bathes the Eucharist. Love bathes the community gathered. And love is what makes this ancient liturgy so beautiful and holy and beloved. Since the time of Odilo, the fifth abbot of Cluny, through the centuries, the Church has often encouraged and affirmed masses for the dead, prayers for the dead, liturgies such as this. At other times, the Church and its hierarchy has discouraged it, suppressed it. Such was the case during many of the Victorian years, especially in Britain. And people in the pews, in their homes, in the streets, it seemed, were simply having their grief and their mourning bottled up. And then came World War I, when so many lives were lost in the face and the evils and the horrors of war. And there seemed to be nowhere to express this loss, this grief, this mourning. And there was a British chaplain walking across a French battlefield. One day he discovered a grave with a roughly hewn cross with pencil markings, simply stating, "Here is a grave of an unknown British soldier." And he was inspired and he wrote the Dean of Westminster Abbey. And he suggested that the remains of a soldier such as this one day be brought to the Abbey to be buried with due ceremony and respect amongst kings and nobles, to represent the unknown fallen of the empire. And indeed, on Armistice Day, November 11th, 1920, the remains of 4 to 6 unknown soldiers were brought to Westminster Abbey. And in the presence of King George V, nobles and ministers, they were buried with due respect and honor. It was meant to be beautiful and holy. It was meant to be big. But no one could expect, no one could predict the swell of response that it brought. That bottled up grief, that bottled mourning, flowed like water in a riptide trying to find its way out to the ocean. And it has remained as popular and as beautiful today as it was in 1920. Just a year later, the tradition came to Arlington Cemetery. And how we have loved that tradition from then until now. Human beings need to express their God-given grief, their God-given ability to mourn through their ability to love. And so tonight, our faith teaches us that it is a noble thing to pray for the dead. It is a noble thing to contemplate people that we have loved who have died. And so the Church encourages us this night to think and ponder our own deaths. In a time when society denies deaths, Our dead are taken from the hospital, from funeral homes to be dressed and prepared by strangers. We roll now our dead down the aisles of our churches, never feeling the weight of the bodies like we used to when we carried the caskets. We don't even say die anymore or death. We talk about passing away. We live in a death-denying culture. But through the security of the love of God and the faith in the resurrection, it is our Christian duty to contemplate our deaths and to prepare for our deaths, to write our wills, to write our instructions for our funerals, to talk to loved ones about our wishes and what death means. It is not a morbid thing. It is a thing of faith. Tonight is the time when we are encouraged to contemplate the death of our loved ones and the death of our loved ones' loved ones and the death of those who have no one to love them. To attend funerals, to take the discipline and time to write notes of sympathy and meaning. These things are disappearing, but you know what? Technology will never replace the ministry of presence. It is our Christian duty to attend funerals and memorial service and to write those notes with prayer and meaning. And then also tonight, it is our duty to recognize that all of us grieve and mourn differently. And to respect that. Not long ago, a moving story came to me. A friend of mine called me who was concerned for a cousin of hers. And she and some other cousins had gone to visit the priest of a young woman who had had her first child. She and her husband had placed the child in a crib in their nursery. And a freak accident happened one night. A plastic bag literally just fell off the shelf, floated down, and smothered the baby. And the mother found the baby in the morning. And what an unimaginable, horrific thing to experience, this death. The funeral took place, weeks passed, a few months passed. And it was nearing the Christmas holiday season. And the cousins went to the priest of the young woman and the young man, the mother and the father of the deceased child, because they were worried about them. And they knew that they were very close to their local priest. And the complaint was this, that the mother especially was spending an inordinate time at the graveyard. And she was doing something that they thought was quite unhealthy. She was decorating the grave almost like a Christmas tree with garland and bows and Christmas decorations. And they were concerned that she wasn't getting on with her life. They were concerned that she was participating in this odd thing. And beautifully, but very forcefully, the priest challenged them and said, if you want to do the right thing for your cousin, you will go to that grave and you will bring a Christmas decoration and stand with her. Because right now she's standing alone in her grief, alone in her mourning. And you must appreciate that her way of mourning might be different from the way you might do it. But come to respect her way. And so they did. And finally, she wasn't so alone in her mourning. They showed her the ministry of presence, the duty of every Christian, one to another. So tonight, let us contemplate our death, the death of our loved ones, the death of those who have no one to pray for them. And to know one thing, going back to the very basic foundation of mourning and grief, that if we fail in some of this, we don't quite measure up, we never quite understand the mystery of death, the love of God will fill in the gaps. That's the promise of Christianity. So let us remember that. Now, let us remember and hold fast to that, even at the hour of our deaths. Amen.